Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contaminated.
Hello and welcome once again to this edition of your half-hour inspirational program. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us for tonight's broadcast. We certainly have looked forward to this. Tonight is actually a follow-up from last week's show where we had Bishop Franklin Capron on, as well as Elder Willie Walker, that were featured on the broadcast. And as evident of the success of that broadcast by the number of listeners around the world that tuned in, we want to go ahead and thank you for that. Certainly, this show does not have all the answers, but what we're looking at is individuals, how they relate to God and their relationships with God for themselves. So if you're looking for a ministry that is interested in sharing some not only spiritual things with you, but practical things as well, then I trust that you will give this broadcast an opportunity. Once again, this is your half-hour inspirational program, which airs every Friday from 8 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. That 30 minutes is a time that we certainly look forward to have discussions about God and some practical issues as well. We certainly look forward to our guests that will be joining us this evening. Last week we actually mentioned part one. Is your ministry called of God? Is your ministry called of God? And Bishop Franklin Kaplan and Elder Willie Walker came on and they gave some thoughts in terms of how they interpret and define ministry. And those that perhaps call themselves versus those that are called of God, and there is a significant difference when it comes to that. All right. I also want you to know that we have a publication that launched February 24th of this year, just not even a month ago. And I praise God that the publication is doing quite well. And I continue to look forward to his continued blessing. Now, those of you all that support the publication, it's only $4.95 a month. That's right, it's only $4.95 a month. And what that does is it supports about 10 charities that we've come up with. So certainly portions of your proceeds will go to support those charities. They include things from a soup kitchen that we're looking forward to launching. We're also looking at, with certain select churches, Save Our Families, scholarship funds, mental illness, foreign aid, trying to collaborate for a school in Haiti. So there's at least 10 charities that this publication will assist us with providing assistance. So if you're listening to this broadcast and you want to certainly contribute to that, a ministry that gives back, that's right, a ministry that gives back to the people, we encourage you to take a look at this broadcast. And at $4.95, I can assure you it will not break you. We're going to go ahead and bring in one of our featured guests this evening. And, of course, if at any point in time you want to speak to the host or my featured guest, simply press 1, and we will be happy to entertain your questions, comments, or even your thoughts as it relates to your spiritual beliefs and your relationship with God. We're going to go all the way from sunny South Florida, where I am not. I'm in another cold town this evening that's weather-wise, but I'm enjoying it. It's a different twist from being in Florida. It's rather cold where I am, and I'm a bit under the weather. So, but I thank God for his grace and his mercy. Bishop Franklin Capron is with us, and he's on the line. Bishop Capron, thank you for taking time out to allow your schedule to be with us once again this evening.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be here again.
All right, thank you. We certainly look forward to tonight's broadcast. We're going to also go all the way to another area of the United States, and we're going to bring in Elder Willie Walker. Elder Walker, thank you for joining us on tonight's broadcast as well.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Okay. All right. Gentlemen, last week we opened up by talking about ministry, and tonight's topic is part two, is your ministry called of God? And if you would, I'm going to ask each of you, starting with Bishop Capron, if you would give us a synopsis of when you hear that topic or that thought, is your ministry called of God? What comes to your mind?
Well, as we mentioned last week, when your ministry of call of God, of course, God gave us the command to go into all the world and preach, and that's just not from a pulpit. Because we all are really ministers, and when we can begin to share with people, we all know having a license as an ordained minister is a great and wonderful thing, but you don't need to be an ordained minister to share the message of salvation with anyone, because we're required or we're responsible once you know the Lord and he has done something for you. And that's a good thing. I think we all like to share good things, and the message of salvation is a good thing. So, and I hope we can get a little bit more in tonight if the time allows about, really talk about licensing and ordaining.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Elder Walker, we're going to go to you now with relatively the same thought, question, and that is, when you hear, is your ministry called of God, what comes to your mind? I know on last week you reiterated how teaching is perhaps a call. Being an attorney is a call, being a medical doctor perhaps in these areas. And that's what I believe Bishop Capron is alluding to, that not everybody is called in terms of being an ordained minister. But give us your thoughts, Elder Walker.
Yes, I want to deal basically those sentiments that the bishop was saying. And yes, not everyone is called. It says many are called, but few are chosen. A lot of people think that they are called by God, but once they see all that's going on and what it requires, then they're not really called by God. Because, as he mentioned last week, some people just do it, you know, just for the money. He even mentioned that last week, that someone said, "Well, I'm just in this for the money." Either he or you, someone said that they were just in it for the money. But though I do have a ministry. There's many ministries out there. I have my ministry that God has given me, where I like to share the good news, and like the bishop was saying, that all of us can share the gospel. You don't have to be an ordained minister to share the gospel, but I share the gospel with people. I do Bible studies with people, and then God has given me a calling with this ministry of mathematics that I have, where I teach kids how to get motivated and excited about learning and all. So it's a ministry of God, and I know that he's given to me, because I didn't even know I had this gift until he showed me that I had it some 25, 30 years ago. I was able to motivate kids to get excited about mathematics, and then it would transfer over into all the other disciplines. So I'm excited about this ministry that I have. I'm excited about the other ministries that I have, and all about all the different ministries that we have, that we can reach people that are out there, because the gospel is said to us to go, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So we do have a calling, and that is to go out and gather souls for Christ. Now, we can't convert people, but all we can do is just plant the seed, and God does the watering. The Holy Spirit does the watering.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that with us. And we certainly wish you well with your ministry, with the kids. How does anyone get in touch with you if they want to know? And give us the name of your program, your ministry.
The ministry is called Project Motivational Math, and they can go online and they can Google that, Project Motivational Math, or they can go to my website at projectmath2k.com. Projectmath2k.com, or just look up Project Motivational Math, and they will see the ministry online at my website.
All right, just before we go back to Bishop Capron, let me ask you this question. is your ministry, you say Project Motivational Math, motivational, is that inspiration? And then is that for all school-age children?
Well, basically, I'm going to say from grades like fourth grade all the way up to about 10th grade. A lot of times we get involved with the high order thinking and a lot of the basics we don't know. So we could try to cover a lot of the basics. We try to catch them at the foundation. And we need to catch our children at the foundation because once they get to a certain point, you know, it's kind of hard to reach them because they think they know it all and they're just ready to move on from that point. So we try to catch them at an early age, work with them with the basics so they can move into the higher order thinking.
Okay, Bishop Capron, we talk about ordination. What's the difference, in your opinion, of one who is ordained versus one who's perhaps just a minister? And like Elder Walker is saying, you know, you can be a teacher or an attorney, and perhaps you're not viewed as ordained. So give us definition in your assessment of ordained minister.
Well, I can tell you the ordained is by laying on of hands. You know, a lot of people can get license off the internet in 2 seconds, which is no word the paper is written on, because a lot of people don't realize in the United States there's two ordination, one by God and one by the IRS. Because the IRS have their own rules, and as a matter of fact, they have 9 secretarial duties that an ordained minister has to do to be able to maintain their ministerial credentials. And when you're called, well, we hope those who are called by God will just get out in the field and do the work that God has called them to do. And I was listening to Elder Walker. There's so many different ministries that, you know, we can be a part of and that we are into. The ministry that I am involved with is ICCM, International Congress of Churches and Ministers. We license people worldwide, but got to tell you, man, we just don't give you a piece of paper. We run a background, an FBI background check. We want to know who's coming into our organization.
Right.
And once that's taken care of, you will be getting an exam because, you know, in ministry, it's just not you're going to go out and start preaching. Even though God called those and he doesn't call the perfect. But, if, you know, when he calls you, he also prepares certain steps for you to go through as far as training. Because there's training, there's examination, there's qualifications. And then there's promotion. You don't go from being janitor to being the president.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Ministry. And a lot of people just want to go to the top and call it that. Well, you know, you got to climb the ladder.
All right. Let me ask this question quickly. Let's just say, is it because you are called or become an ordainer with the lane?
Hello, I think I missed
listen
you.
The audio. For the listening audience.
I didn't get it either.
Oh, okay. Let me repeat that question. Just because you are an ordained minister, does that mean that that individual is not subject to failing or error? And does it mean that, because for my listening audience, sometimes people think when you are an ordained minister, then that you're free from the element of sin. So, Bishop, if you break that down for us, for my listening audience and the other Walker, you can certainly give your contribution just before we go to the phone line.
Oh, no. The minute you become an ordained minister, you're the prime target for the devil. I mean, there's all certain things because we're still in a human body just like Jesus was, so there will be temptation. Right. It's our responsibility and our trust in God not to yield to those temptations. Because, I mean, you know, let's be honest about it. You see a young lady walking down the road half naked, you better be in Jesus.
That's right.
So, you know, because you're still in the form of a human flesh and,
right.
and it just doesn't go away. Paul said, every time I try to do good, evil appears.
Yes, right.
So that means that we are subject to the things, but we are not of the world. We try to live our lives as best we can and pleasing God, but it's not that easy. It's a struggle, but we have to overcome those struggles.
Mm-hmm. I think it's somewhat easy. We make it difficult because or we allow our eyes, you know, to see things, and then we study those things. The Bible says the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you're going to dwell on something, then it's going to become a problem. But now, we're not walking down the street with our heads down. We're walking down the street with our heads straight up, you know, but we don't have to get involved with them. Just like the bishop was saying, we're to be in this world, but we're not. We're to be in this world, but not to be of this world. And the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And then that means that if you're in Christ, then you're a new creation. You're totally different now than what you were before. So if you were involved in those kind of things before, now that you've given your whole mind and soul to Christ now, then you have him to keep you lifted up. Because just like Jesus, when he was upon this earth, he was in all manner tempted like we are, yet without sin. So he sets the bar. The bar is high because Jesus set the bar. He was humanity and divinity at the same time, even though he suspended his divinity, but yet still he was tempted like we are, yet without sin. And I was sharing that with a lot of young people today, that what he had to go through as a child and as an adult, but yet he refused to sin. So no, we're not free from sinning once we become ordained, so to speak, as you mentioned. But we are, matter of fact, that the temptation comes even greater, as the bishop was saying. I think about David, the patriarch. I think about Joseph and how he was in Potiphar's house and how she tried to tempt him over and over again, and he refused. He refused. He said, how can I do this great sin and sin against God? Not so much against you, Mrs. Potiphar, but against God. And then the same thing with David. Now, he was a man after God's own heart, but yet still he fell by the wayside. Because he saw Bathsheba, he fell by the wayside. But now he was remorseful, because after the prophet Nathan came and shared with him that he was the man that was taking the little Eerie lamb from the guy who didn't have hardly anything. And then David thought that guy should be killed. And they know they spared David's life, but they was letting him know that thou art the man, who was a man after God's own heart. So we all are subject to fall. But we're servants to who we yield ourselves to. And that's what we're going to obey.
Okay, Elder Walker, we thank you for that. And let me ask you, and it's interesting that you mentioned God was deity and man at the same time. So if that be the case, and I'm just looking at the rationale or the reasoning, could Christ have sinned if he was God and deity, or did he in fact have an advantage over humanity?
I won't speculate. I can't say that God had an advantage over us, because it says he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Now, you said that he was divinity and humanity at the same time. He suspended it. He laid it aside, his divinity. He became sin for us. He became man. He became humanity. He became a man, so therefore he was subject to sin. He went through all the temptations just like we, you know. He grew up in the ghetto in Nazareth. Nazareth was a ghetto town. Okay, so he had all those things coming at him, all the different things that we do. So to me, he was letting us know, you can't say this because you came out of a real bad neighborhood, that that's going to keep you from serving God the way that you want to serve him and all, the way that he's ordained for us to serve him and all. So yes, he was tempted just like we are, yet without sin.
Okay, Bishop, let me go to you and ask this question. Was Christ deity and man at the same time simultaneously? If that be the case, was he subject to error? Was he subject to sin? Or did he have the advantage?
Well, I would say he had the advantage because he was God. Even though he was in human flesh, he was God. He came into this world as a child that was born of a virgin. But every time he was tempted, he knew how to resist those temptations, from the fasting in the wilderness, where he had to tell Satan to get behind him. Satan was trying to offer him something that was already his. So, yes, I know there are people out there who said God sin, Jesus sinned, he was married and all this sort of thing, but nowhere in the Bible you will see that, because he was God and he came and he did his work 3.5 years and then he went back home to glory. And all the time he was here, he did not sin. Oh, I believe he had some hard times. Like the elder said, you know, even in the ghetto, people still stay safe.
Right. But now, in addition, let me go to the phone lines and then we'll try and come back here. We're going to go to, looks like North Carolina is on the phone. Welcome to your half-hour inspirational program. Who do we have on the line with us, and thank you for joining? North Carolina, 919-875.
This must be Gloria, but I lost what I was going to say if you all were talking.
Okay. I want to respond.
That's really interesting, though. I want to hear more of what you all have to say.
Okay. Elder Walker, we're going to go ahead with perhaps a deity and simultaneous. If God had the advantage, then he had an advantage over us. And then that means, how could there be an expectation for us to not sin when our foreparents sinned in the Garden of Eden when God was present? Go ahead.
That might be the only thing that I disagree with the bishop on, the part that Christ had an advantage. I don't see that. I don't see that. Now, this is just how I see it and where I've studied. I don't see where he had the advantage, because it said that he suspended his divinity and became man for us, and he became the propitiation for our sins and all. And so, therefore, as he went through, even in the wilderness, when Satan was coming at him and all, you know, and then, like the bishop said, he threw the word on him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But he had to keep going to the Father. He had to pray. He stayed in constant communion with the Father, praying daily. I mean, many times a day, because he was subject to sin. He could have sinned. Even when he was on just before the cross in Gethsemane there, he had to pray that prayer three times. Otherwise, he could have just given it all up and said, "I'm going back there and forget this, man. I'm not going to go through this." So he was tempted many a time. Even the Bible says that he was tempted, but yet without sin. So I don't see where he had the advantage. It's just almost like saying the children of Israel, spiritual Israel had an advantage over us than modern Israel and all. Yeah, we can look at their examples and all, but to me it's the same, that the temptations are still there. Now that's how I'm looking at it. That's the only thing I wanted to comment on.
Okay, Bishop, if you had a thought that you wanted to present, or I can move on to the next question.
Well, just before you move on, you know, this is one of the things that makes all of us so unique and thing. We can agree and disagree.
That's right.
You know,
that's
because
right.
Scriptures are different interpretation, and I'm sure one of these days the elder and I are going to get together, and it's not about right or wrong, it's about learning more.
That's right. Hey, amen. I really appreciate those comments too, what you just said. Yeah.
Okay, yes. Also, now, you know what I'm thinking about when we talk about, is your ministry called of God? Is your ministry called of God? Now, let's address some people who, when we get into commercial ministry, what is that? How can, and let me go to the bishop first on this one here. Someone who's genuinely interested in searching for a ministry to turn to, what should they be looking for? You know, as opposed to somebody who's saying, well, you know what, they seem to be all about commercialization. They seem to be, you know, about building themselves with this ministry. What is it that an individual who's genuinely searching for a ministry that's called of God, where they can actually partake in, what should they be looking for, Bishop?
Okay, well, number one, our ministries, whatever our ministries are about people. Without people, we basically have no ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to really serve the people, because we are called of God, and if God has called you, he's called you to be a servant. A servant is someone who serves. You can't pick and choose who you serve. You just serve. It doesn't matter what they look like, smell like, act like. You know, eventually when they see your lifestyle, they will try to measure up if you're setting that example. But the ministry that we should all be a part of is something that is genuine. And most of all, something that is law-abiding. We cannot preach from the pulpit and not have our house in order.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't get out there and say, well, I don't need a license, and your city requires that you have a license. The first thing you need to do is go get a license, make sure all your documents are lined up properly with the state or with the federal government, if it involves that, and make sure your house is in order before you even make one foot forward to tell people, follow me as I follow Christ.
That's right.
Okay. I think that's an excellent presentation. Elder Walker, give us your thought. Is the bishop right on course?
Oh, he's on point with 100%. I'm in total agreement with him. How can we go out and tell people exactly what we're doing with our ministry if we don't have our ducks in order and all? So, to me, he's right. You got to be on point with the state, the federal government, and everything else. Make sure everything is lined up properly in order for you to move on with your ministry and all, because it wouldn't mean anything. How can you say, as he said, follow me as I follow Christ, if you're not doing that?
Okay, and I think that that's also a good observation and point to bring to our call. We're going to go back to Gloria now and ask her, does she have a comment? Have you come up with what you wanted to?
No, first of all, you all answered the bishop and the
pastor, Elder Walker,
answered my question, I mean, that I had in mind at first. But I want to ask another question. If you have to be an ordained minister, what about the children and the women? I mean, I've seen little children that they say were like ministers, and then the ladies. I mean, I don't understand a lot of that.
Are you asking where our children ordained? Can they become ordained ministers as youth, as children, and are women called to be ordained?
I'll
Is that what your question?
Then I've seen where they said their children are not necessarily ordained, but their children are little preachers or what have you.
Okay, and then women, is your question about women?
Right.
Are they called to be ordained ministers? Is that your
right.
question? Okay,
yeah.
Bishop, why don't you start out, and then we'll go to Elder Walker. Good question, Gloria. We appreciate your question.
By all means, Gloria, children, once they get to the age of accountability where they understand, most organizations require that they be 18 and over, which is, I'm not going to say whether it is good or bad, because if they have an understanding of God's word and want to share that, you know, there's a training that they have to go through, you know, that will enable them. Because like I said, you just can't, if you're drinking milk, you will have to graduate from milk to steak sooner or later.
Right.
And as far as woman being ordained, there's nothing wrong with a woman being ordained in the ministry. I mean, we have all those Bible examples, Ruth, Naomi, Dorcas, Esther. You know, we never put a title on them, but look at their work, what they did. They were ordained by God. And if you remember, yeah, Jesus had 12 disciples, but he had some women in the background that were doing the work.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but they weren't ordained, were they? Or were they?
In those days and time, they really didn't have ordination as we have them today. Only
right.
the priests. You know, for instance, you know, when the priest went to service Sunday morning, he sit in the synagogue and he wait to hear from God. We don't do that. We go and we start service.
Okay. Elder Walker, did you want to make a contribution?
Well, on the women ordination, there's a big issue in a lot of the churches today about women ordination and all, and for us, them being heads of churches and all, being pastors and all in the churches, and also, as the bishop said, a lot of times things change over the years and all, and we know that we have many examples in the Bible, as he mentioned, you know, Ruth, Dorcas, and Naomi, all those different ladies that was in the Bible who did a lot of work. So, and this, the Bible does say that they're supposed to come with a meek and quiet spirit, and then, you know, they're to know their places and all, but when you take a look at all of that, would you say that had something to do with the time that they were living in back during those days and all? Because now we know that everything is totally different now, and we need as many people as possible to share this good news, because the Bible says, and this gospel shall be preached into all the world for a witness, and then the end is going to come. So we got to take as many as we can to try to get this message out there so the end can come.
We
If I may add just one thing, look at our churches. Who do we have in them?
We've got about 40 seconds, guys.
All we have in our churches is women. Thank God for the women.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. All we have is just the women. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is true. You know, we need to find out what's going on with that. You know, we're out of time, Bishop Capron and Elder Willie Walker. We do appreciate you all being on the show, and we look forward to you all coming back at some time when your schedules will permit. Next week's broadcast will be, is it really possible to be angry and sin not? And then we're going to also get into some upcoming shows where we talk about actually speculation on the 18 missing years of Christ, the 18 missing years of Christ. Lord, we also appreciate you coming in and being with us this evening, and we certainly trust that you will join us again at the appointed time. Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time tonight, and I want to thank all of my listeners. Join us again on next Tuesday's broadcast from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you choose to bypass that show, please join us again next Friday for your half-hour inspiration program. I've been Dr. Jesse Walker, your host, and good night. God bless, and thank you, God.
Good night.
Good night.